This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Listening to the Extra Point Show from the Just Call Jed Studios. Injured? Call Jed.com. WGR Sports Radio 550.
I love his instincts. I love his route running. I love his ability to adjust to the football. Yards after the catch. It's all immediate. It's instant. Tell me why I'm crazy.
No, dude, you're not, man. I mean, I was surprised when I saw his film.
He's pretty young to playing wide receiver. Like, he's got like a season and a half of play at wide receiver at all. But he's got crazy polish for someone that's that new to playing the position. If I'm the scout in the room, I am banging the table for Jalen Royals.
Sam Monson, Steve Palazzolo, Check the Mic podcast, talking about I think he is my favorite wide receiver in this class. Like, I know him, it's Texas guy. I've been a big fan of Jalen Royals out of Utah State since the Senior Bowl. Big fan of his. He was on pace, Derek, for I think 90-plus catches, over 1,400 yards, and give or take like 8 touchdowns before he had a foot injury, which ultimately played into his Senior Bowl practices and even somewhat of the combine. And he still put together really, really good workouts. Senior Bowl, he was a star there. Combine, I think he was projected to run under 4.4. Ran about, I think, 4.43, I believe. This is off the top of my head. But 6 foot, 200 pounds, very, very fluid, very smooth. You heard Sam talking highly about how polished he is, even though he's had only a few years as a wide receiver. He's the kind of guy, if it's late second round and they haven't traded back, what have you, all of a sudden, safety, don't care. Edge rusher, don't care. Go get him. Because yes. I think he also adds an element that you simply don't have. And we mentioned it, talking about the wide receivers real quick with Amari Cooper. Who is Palmer replacing? Matt Collins, Amari Cooper, both? Probably not both. And let's not act like the receiver room is dead set. They've got clear guys up in front of everybody. I think Curtis Samuel put together a good end to the year. But for most of the year, we were upset about his contract.
Yes, and I do think that they are kind of telling their hand a little bit of when they're going to take a wide receiver.
100%.
Because a lot of these guys are day two prospects. So either they find themselves a way in round three to get back in and get somebody, or they take someone late round two. And that is perfectly fine by me. This Bills team, there's a lot. There's a lot of options you can have here. And we were talking about trading down, how the context matters, everything like that. And sometimes it is make a conviction, make your pick. I will say, if the draft board falls a certain way and you kind of need to pull the chute already, like say there's a run on players that we're all very familiarized with, like Kenneth Grant, Nick Emmanuel, Shamar Stewart, Derek Harmon, and Maxwell Harrison all go within like a 7-pick slide before we're even at like pick 23 or 24.
Say the Steelers
don't take a quarterback and they're like, I'm perfectly happy with best player available right now.
Gross.
Yes, gross, but also you're looking at it and going, well, we tried.
Pack your bags. We'll see
Pack
you on
your
Friday.
Bags. We'll see you on Friday. Let Cleveland go ahead and take Jackson Dart. See if I care. So there's a lot that you can end up doing here, and that's where context matters the most. We can argue back and forth until we're blue in the face, but none of us know how it's going to go until it starts happening on Thursday night next week.
Yeah,
I think
my only frustration with that would be they're having runs happen to them again. it seems like they're never part of the runs. They never attack before. They allow it to happen, and then they react afterwards. That would be my only frustration. But you're right. If stuff like that happened, yeah, I'd be banging the drum just as much of to move back, and we'll figure it out on Friday. There'll be more guys that are available. But there's also going to be an argument, too, if all those guys are gone, but like Tyleck Williams is there. This team had a real issue in run defense, and he's the big body you need up the middle of the defense. Just take him. It'll work out. That'll work. That'll play. But, well, again, like, as you mentioned, no one really knows how it's going to play out until we actually get to draft day, which is 9 days away from today. Do have some draft notes as well. Bills aren't in play for this at all. But Travis Hunter sat down with Garrett Pottle of CBS Sports, talked a lot of stuff in terms of, you know, playing both receiver and cornerback. Did mention apparently in this interview he would rather retire than not be able to play both wide receiver and cornerback in the NFL. But good news for Hunter and all NFL fans, apparently no team he's met with has issue with him playing on both sides of the ball in the NFL. This has been a talking point, I think, for a lot of us. We haven't talked a lot of Hunter just because he's going to be gone by, at worst, pick 5.
At worst, pick 4.
Yeah.
Forget about it. If New England gets it's over.
But this was always a conversation of, will NFL teams actually be okay with him playing both? I was never against it. He's been doing it for years. He did it in high school. He's clearly got the stamina to do it.
And he's got the stamina to – he had the stamina to do it in college.
Very much so,
It is going to be, all right, we need to see how this goes, because, like, if there's going to be limited impacts on both sides of the ball, mm-hmm. how positive are they?
Right.
So that's why teams are probably, like, not against the idea. If we start seeing it actually, like – where are the impacts being made more, then we'll talk as you progress in your career about, okay, maybe we need you to fixate on one side of the football.
Mm-hmm.
But until then, well, we got to find out what side that is.
It has helped him, too, the fact that pretty much every draft analyst I've seen, just unanimously, Hunter's the best wide receiver. Hunter's the best cornerback. But he's got to be both. And so that's to your point, is like, are we going to get diminishing returns on both of them because you're playing both?
And is it worth it?
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. If I'm not going to have him on the field all the time at one position, how impactful are you capable of being on both sides of the football? And I think at corner, that's a lot harder to do than it is at wide receiver.
He played so many snaps in college and played them well.
That's the thing.
That you do have to almost sit back and go, I know it's the NFL. It is going to be a jump. But damn, he keeps doing it. He keeps proving people wrong.
But I'm
in
also
his ability
an NFL team going,
it.
I need to limit your snap count if you're going to do both, because you're my first round investment. You're my baby. I need to protect you.
Yeah, I think realistically it becomes, I think it's less about diminishing returns. It becomes more health.
Yes.
I'm putting it more at risk for injury.
You are at more stress at the NFL level even. And I need to make sure that the modern day medicine and sports medicine is going to be able to do this for you capably.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, corners and wide receivers, it is a lot of hip movement. It's a lot of technique, a lot of leg. Like, there's a lot to it where it's not similar movements, but it's similar body parts.
Yeah.
So that's probably why he's been able to succeed even at the highest level of college football, is because of that. I need to make sure my sports science has you ready for the aggression and the speed of the National Football League to be able to do both.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to try it. And then maybe we have to figure it out from there and go, okay, dial back on X so that you can do more of Y. Because we're starting to see more injury risk on one side of the football, or we're seeing you're not getting enough snaps to make a true difference at one of these other positions.
Mm-hmm.
But teams should be willing to try it.
Real quick on Travis Hunter and Colorado as a whole. So did you see the story that they're retiring both Hunter's number 12 jersey and Shedeur Sanders' number 2 jersey?
So I get one.
Yeah.
I don't. I get one and I know why about the other.
Yeah.
But like, Hunter makes sense.
He's a Heisman Trophy
winner at Colorado.
Yeah.
You're not getting that again.
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
I mean, maybe you are. Well, Deion could be a good recruiter.
This is their second Heisman ever.
Oh, that's right.
So it can happen again.
Well, was it
Salam?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, they had someone before.
94. 2,000-yard rusher. It can happen again.
It can happen again. But the thing is that, you know, when you have a player making that kind of an impact, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I mean, Shedeur Sanders, yeah, That's it's a little bit of a nepotism pick on that one. But at the
little
same time, but at the same time, I'm trying here, okay? Let me try the devil's advocate on this. He also might have a case for being one of the better quarterbacks of Colorado Buffalo's history. A decent case for it?
I think it's a decent case. Problem is Cordell Stewart's number is not retired.
Then correct that first.
That's my thing is I can't have Shador. If they won the Big 12 this year, if they made the college football playoff, I could find my argument.
Yes.
I could get there where 2 years ago this is a one-win program, and by year two under Deion, you're a Big 12 champion in
and
the
welcome,
college football playoff.
And welcome back there. To Context Matters.
I could get there.
So ready?
But at a 13-11 record and losing your bowl game, I can't get there.
Well, honestly, for me, it's just fix Cordell Stewart.
Yeah, get that done.
Get that done, and then you can do the other thing. You can get away with it then.
Especially because they seem to not be able to wait even for a second to have these two have their numbers will be retired before the draft. April 19th.
Yeah. It's
this Saturday.
That's Deion, you got to cool it a little bit. Just a little bit.
Just a hair.
Also, just fix the Cordell Stewart problem, and then you can have the context of, okay, yeah, no, that's fine.
I think as well, I look at the historical things, and I like Shador Sanders, by the way, as a prospect. I think his biggest issue, and the funny phrasing I keep seeing thrown around of it, this is not my idea of it, I just keep hearing it, Shador inherited his mom's athleticism, right? Like, he's not his dad-level athlete, but he's a very good quarterback. He's accurate. He's got a good arm, not great. Holds onto the ball a little bit too long, tries to make plays with the limited athleticism. But I like Shador as a prospect. I really do.
I think he'll learn very quickly in the NFL. It's different.
Yeah.
And if he's able to focus on that and not hold onto the ball too long.
Yeah.
In the NFL, it's you got to get your damn ball out now.
Now, the one issue.
In college, there are times where you get away with the nonsense. That's why Zach Wilson went second overall.
It's also why Caleb Williams was able to have as productive as a college career as he was.
Oh my
and
God,
struggled amount, a lot in the NFL so
the amount
far.
Of times that he just ran around in the pocket, I looked at it and I'm like, this is kind of like he's kind of manufacturing numbers off of dumb plays that don't happen in the National Football League.
Johnny Manziel was famous for this.
Yes.
Won a Heisman off of it.
Got picked in the first round by Cleveland because of it.
Mm-hmm.
Almost got picked by Dallas. Which
I want to live
I
in that
I think
world.
That was the time that we really should have started paying attention to Jerry Jones's process.
Want to know what that world looks like. Because Zach Martin is a Hall of Fame offensive lineman.
Right. The difference is that the
Stephen
Dallas Cowboys.
Stephen Jones had to walk Jerry off the blank from taking Manziel.
So the reality is the Dallas Cowboys still don't make the NFC Championship game. The end.
Yeah, but it's maybe more funny. Like, Manziel winding up on Cleveland, you can always... Not right. You can always have the argument that it was Cleveland.
Cleveland did it, yeah.
Yeah, Cleveland did it. If he went to Dallas and was a tire fire,
which
he would have been...
That would be Jerry Jones.
Oh, baby.
Yeah. You keep saying it, and I do love it, the framework of nobody gets more run off of something that they did in the... Early 90s.
The 90s, man. He was a trailblazer. He took risks 35 years ago. And he will never not let you know it.
Yeah.
It's my favorite attribute of his.
Yeah, it's just, good for you, man.
Anytime he is criticized, he's like, well, a lot of people criticize me. Like, okay, enough. We know. We know you did. And you did well. And now you haven't for a long time.
Very long time. Sometimes they've been good and also... Sometimes they should have been the better team. But you're also the first team to lose to a 7 seed.
And he got blown out.
Yeah, badly.
Like, it wasn't like NCAA tournament. It wasn't like, hey, it was a last-second shot. They made all their threes. Jack Golke became God for a few minutes. There's not much you can do. No, Jordan Love and the Packers offense walked all over you
Jordan
all day.
Jordan Love got a big boy contract for that game.
Yeah, and they walked all over you. And I never want the Cowboys to change. I really don't.
The thing is that
so much fun.
There is a certain amount of time. I mean, you know, we all see our end one day.
Oh yeah,
Jerry Jones will see his, unless he does have a pact with the devil, and then the fun just gets to keep going.
Well, on that, as a Texas fan, I am somewhat locked into the Texas football orb, I guess.
Really? I never knew that.
I know.
You never mentioned it.
Stephen Jones may also not be the most fun person to deal with. I have no personal knowledge of this.
He probably also has.
It appears he also might be just Jerry 2.0.
But he also stopped it at first. He stopped the Jerry Manziel pick. Or the Johnny Manziel pick. I said Jerry.
Nice Jerry job. Manziel, hell yeah.
But, yeah, I do think that he's starting to have a little bit of that influence where it's about the brand more than it is about the success.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes, that was the day. That was the day we really should have all paid attention and went, oh, he's bad now.
Mm. They are gonna take a Texas player this year, though. I will be stunned if Matthew Golden does not go there. If Ashton Gentry is off the board,
which he probably should be by 12.
I think Raiders probably go there. I think Matthew Golden to Dallas is written in blood. Nearly.
What about New England? Say Hunter's not there.
Offensive lineman. I think
probably right, but like
I think Golden. I like Golden. I do. I never once saw 4.29 speed watching him play. Mm-hmm. I love him as a receiver. He gets open. He makes great catches. I never saw 4.29 speed. And he's an okay prospect at wide receiver. He is not these elite guys. The one I'm frustrated by is actually Luther Burden. His junior – or like actually sophomore to junior slump is should be studied. He went from a guy at 1,200 yards, true sophomore year – 10 touchdowns, 90 catches, great, and then just plummeted to like half of that. He was a guy this time last year, and you said New England at 4 takes Luther Burden, it would have made complete sense. Now, not at all. And so I think they're going to go offensive lineman, even though this tackle class isn't great.
Yeah.
But they've got to do something for May. They've done the best they can, I think.
You know what's kind of funny now? You mentioned it, like Burden and Golden. Say the Bills don't have either of those players on the radar.
Yeah.
What if a team needs to trade up in the first round to get that?
And they decide, we'll do it.
And they decide, we'll do it. And the Bills are like, okay. We weren't looking at this.
Maybe.
So, again, the context always matters. I'm just happy that under the tweet, I have someone on my side now. As we get connected with our fans, it's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Steve tweeting in, trading back and having 4 picks in the top 100 would be huge. They could even trade pick 109 with some of their fifth rounders to move up and have 5 picks in the top 100. Zach.
That can be nice.
Yes.
They do have 3 in the top 65.
But still, like that's a big deal.
Well, but it's more 4 won't get me there, 5 would.
Yeah.
4, it's like top 100. Okay, I have 3 in the top 65.
At pick 109? Yeah.
Right.
You're effectively looking at it as, all right, sure, I'll trade you 170.
Because mm-hmm.
I have pick 169 anyway.
Yeah.
That is not an expensive move up at that point.
No. Look, there's a lot of avenues they go, but you've brought up a lot today. It depends on the context.
Context really does matter here.
If the board has fallen like years past for the Bills where no one really here, this is not great, a run happened, moving back makes a ton of sense. You'd have a lot of picks on Friday
to do whatever the hell you want.
That you could play with. And especially if you could make multiple moves to maybe get, as Steve points out, maybe 5 picks in the top 100. That's
great. And even then, you don't even have to use all 5 picks in the top 100. No. It is. You can do whatever the hell you want.
Mm-hmm. But
I would have so much fun with Friday if they move back.
Mm-hmm.
Only because, A, I'm that rebound and get up and go get it again kind of person. It took me all of 2 minutes to stop being mad at them trading out twice.
Yeah.
Last year. And once that happened, man, something is very funny, apparently. but once these things happen, though, I'm also, it's too late to say anything else about it. Let's go and get it.
Yeah. Where I fall is last year, they had multiple guys they liked that became apparent when they allowed multiple receivers to go ahead of them after they traded back. I hate that. Take the guy you like most. Have conviction. Just do it and move on. You don't have to trade back just because somebody was like, hey, we'll do this. And you're like, oh, well, we actually like all 4 of these guys. No, you clearly like one above the others. Take that guy because you've got too many good players, not great.
Or your spy agency is very good.
But that's,
keep working the ninjas. Let's go.
That's for me is have conviction. Take the best guy. You need starters. And this is more on defense this year. So if you're like, oh, we like Kenneth Grant, Derek Harmon, Tyler Williams, and so we'll move back. No, who do you like? Who do you like most? If they're all there, who do you like most? Take them. You can get stars at the end of these drafts. T.J. Watt was a late first-round pick. You can get stars.
Matter of fact, he was a pick 30.
Yeah, you can get guys that become elite for you. I am somebody, and this probably doesn't help me in my case either. I'm a big Kenneth Grant guy. I think he has star potential. And I really like the idea of him next to somebody like an Ed Oliver.
It is kind of funny how off the air before the show you were like, I'm kind of giving up on the idea that the Bills will actually take him.
Oh, because I think cornerback's a bigger need.
And now here you are like, no, I'm back.
I
want them to pick him at 30.
Oh, I do. I think cornerback's a bigger need.
I want this to happen.
I think they will ultimately go cornerback. It's a bigger need. But if Grant's there and some of the cornerbacks are gone, I'm back on the train.
Oh, my God. If they trade down, if Kenneth Grant's on the board, I'm pretty sure like this table will be flipped. I don't even know how it's possible.
I might just go quiet.
No.
Just turn off the mic and go sit in a corner. Just go quiet.
I'm just going to be like, TJ, we got to go to a break. I got to hug Zach.
But it's just, for me, there's too many good and not great players on the Bills, and I think a lot of it is just they want to move around too much. They want to play the value too much to where they actually miss out on the actual value of the draft, which is getting good players on rookie contracts.
I don't think it has to do with the value thing. I think it has to do with draft board manipulation for the second and third round.
Yeah, it's too cute. Get the good players on cheap contracts.
I mean, I get that, but hey, the way that this team drafts with the third round, I would take it.
Yeah.
They need to be better in the second round, though. That is something we can all agree on.
Second, arguably the first round, they've got to be better on the early picks.
Yes, they got to be better on those first two picks. They do. Mm-hmm. Have to. And as a matter of fact, when I say first two picks, that counts last year. That's Coleman and Bishop.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call if you want to join us today, talking a lot of draft. Real quick, Sabres note, though, from practice today, Lance Lysowski, Owen Power's injury appears to be serious, said Lindy Ruff, still being evaluated by doctors, so no word yet whether Power will need surgery. He was wearing a brace on his left leg in Tampa.
Cool.
I did not see his injury live. I saw people talk about it. Were you able to see it live?
No, but I saw it. And, mm-hmm. Oh, great. Awesome. 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 Anyone that complains about Owen Power,
I feel bad for him.
Have fun for the last two games.
I feel for him, too, because it seemed like he had kind of found his perfect partner in Bernard Acker. And then also, to this point, season was all but wrapped up. I mean, we're kind of just... We're
playing out the string.
Yeah, we're playing out the games, and now potentially surgery. Perhaps it's a long-term injury where most of the offseason for him is recovery. That, it stings. That stings.
You know how you said something about going silent?
Yeah.
I'm on a necessity to do that.
Sabres are in action tonight at home. Their last two games of the season are at home tonight. Toronto for Thursday, against the Flyers. Pregame will get going at 6 p.m. tonight for a 7 p.m. puck drop. Also, do stay tuned. Joining Shopin the Bulldog today at 5 p.m., Sabres general manager Kevin Adams for his last spot of the regular season.
Oh, sweet.
Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.